Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed over 5,200 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families and birth parents grow through the adoption process is very important to us. We have offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our private adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you so much for listening in today. We hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. Today, I am happy that we're touching on a topic related to openness, and we are going to hear from the perspective of an adoptive mother about how one birth mom unwittingly turned this adoptive family's reservations about openness into a true and genuine connection. And so I am honored to welcome to Adoption Focus today, Deb. Deb, I believe you're on the line. Are you with us?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Everyone. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us and to share your story. And I'd like to get started, Deb, if you could, just by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my husband and I, about 3.5 years ago, we started, we got married about 4 years ago, we got married and we started trying to have a baby. And I'm 46 and he's 41. So we had that against us. And he had a vasectomy. So we had a vasectomy reversal done and did some IUI. And just, you know, we ended up going through the whole gamut of exhausted all of our every medical option we had. And we got to a point where we'd spent a lot of money and a lot of heartache. And just waited a long time, and we finally came to the decision that adoption was the path that God wanted us on. And so about a year and a half ago, we contacted Adoption Associates and started the process.
Okay, and so in the beginning of your adoption journey, as is the case for many of our families, you were assigned a caseworker with Adoption Associates to complete your home study. And one of the topics that I know you were asked to consider at that time was openness. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah. It took us quite a while to actually get into adoption, I think, because we really wanted to have a child to ourselves. For ourselves. And I would say a year before we even started the process, we talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and prayed about it. And once we finally said, let's go down this path, we started looking into it, and we didn't know anything about adoption. There's a lot of different types of adoption. And so we were
sure.
And there was not a lot of information out there. It's, you know, it kind of took a while for us to even, you know, find information, which is unfortunate that it's hard to find information about this. And also we were a little private about it. So we probably didn't ask people as much as we could have, because it's an emotional thing. You know, it's hard to talk to other people about. So once we finally got into it, we learned that, now the norm is open adoption rather than closed adoption. And we were very apprehensive about open adoption. I think our home study process really slowed down. You know, we slowed it down more than anything, just because we really had to process the whole idea of open adoption. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you if you wouldn't mind elaborating on that a little bit, because, Deb, your experience is really not that uncommon. I think you're speaking to a lot of people who are new to adoption, new to the scary-sounding home study process. What is that?
Sure.
What does it mean? And So, you know, particularly when we're talking about openness, I appreciate you acknowledging that you kind of decided, well, we better slow this down. I'm not so sure about this. Yeah. Can we just explore for a few minutes here what were the specific reservations that you and your husband had in reference to that?
I think it just sounds very scary because you feel like you're not in control. You feel that we want this child to be ours, and we didn't want to co-parent, and we didn't want, you know, suddenly to have strangers in our life. I think that was the main thing, is that I think we felt that it was going to be a stranger suddenly that we were beholden to. And, and also we weren't sure exactly what was going to be expected of us. And, I think it was more of a control, you know, how much control were we actually going to have, and was this child going to actually be ours? And so it's a scary thing at first.
Absolutely. And so even though you had some reservations, and I know you received education through the agency and in private conversations with your caseworker as well, you did move forward with completing a home study and with a plan to adopt, but still very leery about this concept of openness. And so I just kind of want to put that there for now, because we're going to revisit that. But there was a day that came that you received a call. Your home study had been approved, and now there was a birth mother that had selected you, right?
Yep.
That day did actually come. And
the day did actually come, yep. And it was almost a year to the day that we got our home study approved. And we were told it was an approximate 18-month wait once you're approved. And so But you know, I think everybody probably does this. As soon as we got our home study approved, we saw our file and all that, and we thought, well, we're wonderful people. They're going to, you know, some birth mother's going to pick us right away. It's going to be a month, and then we're going to get picked. And month after month after month, you know, no word and no word and no word. And a year later, we were very defeated and very questioning ourselves. You know, what did we do with our profile wrong, and why aren't we getting picked? And one day we got a call. She called us on, the caseworker called us on a Thursday. And I don't think this happens to everybody, but she called us on a Thursday and said, you've been selected by a birth mother, and she's due next week. She's due next Thursday. And I gulped really loud, and she said, well, she wants to meet you on Tuesday. So yeah, we found out on a Thursday. The next Tuesday we drove, we're on southwest side of Michigan, and she was over on the birth mother was over on the Detroit area. So we drove out there and met at the agency. We met her and her mother and her stepmother. So and had a wonderful meeting, about a 20-minute meeting with them, and took them to lunch afterwards. So we had a great time.
So what was that like for you?
The meeting with the birth mother was terrifying. I don't think I've ever been as nervous as that ever. And that's something the home study process, when we went through it, one of the things when we first found out, first getting into it, they have whatever it is, 16 hours or whatever worth of training. And we thought, why do we need, you know, we were kind of offended. Why do we need training to be parents? And I really recommend you process all of that training, because it really helped us, because it helps you be empathetic to the birth mother, helps you really understand what the process is going to be going through all that. And when we met with her, first we got the medical, before she even got there, we got her medical history and the birth father's medical history and their family history and all that. And so we got a little bit of, you know, knowledge about her. And then when they came in, it's still, you know, she walked in and she's, you know, large with child, and I teared up. I mean, it's suddenly it's happening. And then to have mother and stepmother there,
right?
And they grilled us. The mother and the stepmother, they really grilled us. They asked us a lot of very serious questions. Do you plan on spanking? What are you going to do if something happens to you? Do you have somebody picked out for, if God forbid something happens? I mean, they ask some very, very serious questions. And luckily, because of the home study process, the social worker had already forced us to come up with those answers. You know, there are a lot of things that they had asked us that we probably wouldn't have thought of before, but we luckily were already prepared with a lot of the questions that they asked. So, it was about a 20-minute meeting, and the birth mother said, "Okay, let's do this." It was really, and I think we hit it off right away. I didn't realize how quickly, you know, that was the thing in the beginning. This whole idea of open adoption, we thought, how are we going to get straight? You know, all of a sudden, strangers are going to be a part of our life. And that 20-minute meeting, those three women were not strangers anymore.
Wow.
I can't express how bonded we got that quickly. And then we took them to lunch after the meeting, and that's the social worker, you know, recommended that and said, if you guys feel comfortable and want to take them to lunch. So we went to lunch, and it was more of a casual, you know, that's the nice thing is, you know, at the agency, it's more, you know, formal and everything. And then we went to lunch and, you know, got to, you know, break bread with each other and talk a little bit more about just regular things. And it was about an hour that we spent lunch together. And I gave her a big hug and cried before I left. And honestly, he was ours that day. He was ours in our heart that day. So we knew going forward that it was going to work out.
So
I'm tearing up thinking about it.
Aw. Well, you've done such a great job of describing this, and I appreciate that. I also really love that you took a moment to talk about the importance of the home study and what it served and how it served you well as the training when it did come time to meet the birth mother. But I know that beyond this initial, what you refer to as terrifying, which I think is cute. The terrifying first meeting, there were more meetings than that, I believe, that there were other times that you were able to meet the birth mother prior to her delivery. And tell us what that was like.
Well, just one other time. And we, as soon as we left, after that first meeting, we exchanged phone numbers. So we texted back and forth. And so she was due the next week, and she texted me, and that day nothing. The next day, she started having contractions, and she, you know, texted me every time she had contractions, and it really looked like something was going to happen, and I didn't want to be 3 hours away. So we drove over there, and we stayed in a hotel over the weekend, and then my husband ended up coming back for work, but I just stayed there for the next week, just waiting. And she texted me every day and let me know what was going on. And then she finally had a doctor's appointment, and she said, you're more than welcome to come to the doctor's appointment with me. And I, of course, jumped at the chance. And we went to the doctor's appointment, and I got to hear him on the sonogram and held her hand. And it was a wonderful experience again. And afterwards, I took her to lunch again, and she actually, the place that she picked was where she worked. She worked at a restaurant, and she worked there.
Wow.
So I again got to meet, her coworkers, and some of her family actually worked there too. And so I got to meet some of her family, and got grilled a little then too. So, and it made it clear that she had a good support system, and that everybody was very supportive of what she was doing, and everybody knew about it. It wasn't a secret. You know, she was very proud of what she was doing, and she wanted everybody to know, and she wanted everybody to, the fact that she wanted to take me there.
That's awesome.
Meant a lot. Yeah, it meant a lot, because that meant that she was very open to sharing this with everyone, and she's very proud of what she did.
Yeah. Yes. That's awesome. So what you had these two opportunities, and you know, I know that maybe to some people, two opportunities doesn't sound like a lot to really connect or know someone, but these are very intimate, intense times when you're getting to know someone who's asking you to parent their child. I'm curious, during this time, what surprised you as you were getting to know the birth mother?
What surprised me is how quickly we bonded and how open she was. I mean, think about it. I went to her, I knew her for a week, and she let me go to her doctor's appointment. And this is OBGYN. So this mm-hmm. was, you know, this is about the most intimate appointment you can have with your doctor. And, you know,
right.
here I am, this complete stranger. And she let me in there, and she let me hold her hand, and she let me hear his heartbeat. And, you know, all of her medical history she opened up to, and every conversation we had, she was trying to impart as much information about his history so that I may need to know later on. I mean, she was very adamant about making sure that I knew things that I might need to know later. I was mm-hmm. very impressed with how generous she was with us. And then she actually, the day that we met her, the first day, we made a birth plan, because that's when you get down, once you decide that you're going to, that, okay, everybody agrees, and the social worker says, okay, let's decide what's going to happen at the hospital. And she said, well, I can have three people in the delivery, and I want my mom and my sister. And she said, if you want to be there, you're welcome. And I said, you try and stop me now. And so she actually let me in from day one. I mean, they ended up inducing. And so I went, she was admitted at 8 a.m. and I showed up right at 8 a.m. and I stayed the whole day. And they induced her, and we waited and everything. And I was there with her and her mother and her sister were there. And I got to hold on to her while she gave birth, and I got to cut the cord, and I got to hold him first. And it was all because of her, because they at the hospital. And again, I can't stress enough, the home study process, let the home study process work. Because at first we thought, why do we have to do all of this training? And it's not training. It's preparing you for what's going to happen at the hospital, preparing mm-hmm. you for dealing with, you know, it's different than having a baby yourself. You're dealing with another person's emotional state too. And it really helped prepare us for what was going to happen at the hospital. And the hospital puts her in charge. The birth mother is in charge, because she has the option to change her mind at this point. She mm-hmm. still can change her mind and say, I'm sorry, but I want to keep them. And so mm-hmm. they give her every opportunity, which is, I'm happy that they do that, because, you know, you want her to be on board. You don't want to push her into doing something. So I was happy that they did this, but they were very, they let her control. And every step, because they asked her, you know, do you want him circumcised? You know, all the questions that they ask at the hospital, and anything that had to do with our son, she looked at me and she said, you ask her, this is mom. And she didn't have to do that. She could have very much, kept this time for herself and said, you know, even still went along with, you know, the adoption plan, but said, you know, I want to be selfish during this time. And she didn't. She was very generous. Mm-hmm. Let me, and she even said, you know, you need your time with him. You need to bond with him, and I don't want to take this from you. And I'm very, very grateful for her. I don't think mm-hmm. that everybody has that experience. And I think that because we were so hesitant about this openness, I think that God really kind of brought her to us and helped and made her a little more generous than she mm-hmm. needed to be, just to mm-hmm. help us be okay with the openness.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys were building this relationship with her prior to the hospital, and becoming connected with her.
Correct.
And, you know, the hospital can often be a time where emotions are kind of at their peak. And you did touch on that a little bit, what that was like. But can you share or give us any more insight about what you feel this time was like for the birth mother at the hospital and also for you and your husband?
She's very emotional, which is, you know, you're human, so you're very emotional, but she was also very certain about her plans. And she did, when we were there, they give, and not every hospital does this, they're all different, but the hospital that we were at, they actually gave us our own room. So once he was born, you know, we got to move into another room, and but we brought him back whenever she wanted. So she had her room and we had our room, and we brought him whenever she said, I'd like to hold him, we brought him back. So we mostly spent most of the time in her room so that she could have her time, you know, and both,
mm-hmm.
My husband and I both respected that she needed her time. And she, after 24 hours, we could have left, and really she could have left, but because she gave birth, she had that 48 hours that they give you. And she said, at the end of the first day, she said, I'm not ready to leave him yet. And she wanted to stay another day. So we stayed. We didn't have to, but we stayed for her. And that the second day, all, you know, we basically spent the whole day with her in the room, and she just held him. And we cried, and, you know, it was a very emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do want to say, and this probably may not happen with everybody, one of the things that they teach you is, and I agree with, is when you're at the hospital, try to stay in the background, because it's the worst day of her life in some senses. You know, it's a very hard thing for her to do, and it's a great joy for you. So kind of try to be respectful of that. And so we were kind of being a little standoffish in the beginning, and her and her mom and her stepmom all said to us, we want to see your joy. You know, so they kind of gave us permission to be happy, you know, and I think if we would have just gone in there and said, you know, this is our day, I don't know if that would have been the right thing to do. But once they gave us permission, then we, you know, started really expressing our joy and being happy about it. And I think that helped her a lot to see the joy that she was giving to us. And
mm-hmm.
it really helped
mm-hmm.
with the closure and all that. So
mm-hmm.
It was a good experience. It was a very good experience.
So we are nearing and approaching the end of our show, unfortunately, but this has been fabulous. I did, Deb, want to ask you if you could to please try to piece together your experience in reference to the openness piece. That's what we started talking about today, and you
sure.
took us through this journey, which was fantastic. But I want to go back to that now and have you talk about how it is that you think you and your husband went from having this great reservation about an open relationship with a birth mother to essentially fully embracing the openness.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of did, you know, a 180, so to speak.
Talk
a bit about that.
I think when we first came to Adoption Associates, we met with Michelle Dykema, and she was, I don't think she was the director yet. She became director a little bit after that, but she was the first one we talked to, and one of the things she said was, it's about the child, you know, and that really stuck with me, because the reason our reservations about open adoption were about our own control and our own, you know, we want this child to be ours and we want to be in control. And it wasn't about us. It was about what's best for him. And then when we went through the reading, you know, the stuff that you have to read, you really need to process, like, each book and each class and each video, process each one before you move on to the next. Don't just go through them all to get them done. Really process them, because a lot of it is about empathy and having empathy for the child, having empathy for the birth mom and the birth family. And once you get to that point, it all falls into place. And and also some of the reading you hear accounts from adults that were adopted, and now that they're adults, and always the ones that weren't told about it, they had a closed adoption. They had identity issues, and once they found out about it when they were older, they almost felt betrayed because they didn't hear about it, and it just and they didn't understand why their birth mother did what she did. Well, if it's open, then they know from the beginning, and there's no shock to their system, and so you got to put it in that perspective that it's not about us. Not about him.
Mm-hmm. And also from the birth mother perspective, that this is not something that they should ever be ashamed of. It is
correct.
A private matter. Making a decision for adoption for your child is a very personal and private decision. However, it is not one that is shameful in nature. And so I think that's a real big message, too, that trickles on to children. And open adoption affords a child the ability to understand that this birth parent made this decision out of love, and to in many
right.
cases, hear that directly from the birth parents themselves.
Right. Right. Exactly. And she's
very proud
of her decision, which I think some women, want to keep it a secret and maybe not, but she let everyone know that she was doing it. And she was very proud of the fact that, you know, she knew our story, that we'd been trying and trying and trying. And I think she was very grateful to give us this gift and to be able to, make our life,
Fantastic information, Deb. I can't thank you enough for today and for opening up with us about this topic.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We're
for
over the moon with our little boy right now.
I'm sure you are. And yeah, we were talking before the show today. He's about 3 months, I believe you said.
Yeah, he'll be 3 months next week. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys are new parents and loving it, and so happy that you've remained in contact with the birth mother and her family as well. So what a story for you guys. You know, this birth mother embraced you in a way that you saw the benefit of open adoption. So once again, thank you so much, Deb. And for our listeners, or if you're interested in connecting with Adoption Associates or to get more information, we would love to hear from you at 800-677-2367. Do remember that we are live on Tuesdays at 11 for more adoption-related topics on Adoption Focus Podcast. Other ways to connect with Adoption Associates are on the web at adoptionassociates.net or through Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Another thing I want to mention before we conclude today is that November is National Adoption Awareness Month, and we are planning to pay tribute and honor birth parents in the month of November by highlighting their strength and determination, and we will have an entire month of guests who are birth mothers. So definitely tune in on Tuesdays in November to hear directly from birth parents about their experience and their choice for adoption. So for now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.